Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, November 8, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out in Client Nation USA with one more day of freedom. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have just begun the exegesis of Verse 1, we have had three words, oidomen gar hati, and that is correctly translated, for we know that. At the beginning of verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5:1 briefly summarizes what Paul has already taught to the Corinthian believers about the nature of the resurrection body. And he taught that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is 2 Corinthians. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he taught about the resurrection body. And therefore, they have learned a lot of doctrine, a lot of the Word of God, and learning the Word of God has given them great confidence. They know from the Word of God. Therefore, this confident assertion, we know, was based on the doctrine that Paul taught them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Knowing the Word of God is the source of comfort and happiness and peace in times of any trouble, any suffering, any adversity, any heartache that we may face in life. However, if you do not know the Word of God, then you are no different than the unbeliever. If you don't know the Word of God, you will not have confidence. You will fall apart in times of adversity. You will have fear and worry and anxiety. But when you consistently and faithfully learn and believe the Word of God and get that Word of God in your heart, well, that enables you to face any adversity with inner peace, because now you have the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, at home in your heart. Ephesians 3:16-19. You have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and therefore you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father. You have impersonal love for all mankind. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is you share the happiness of God. And you have a personal sense of destiny. You know that you have a resurrection body that is eternal, that you will live in forever. For we know that. And at that point, we stop to take a look at the importance of knowing the Word of God. Point one, we study definition. Knowing the Word of God is the basis for all true worship. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your grace and truth, for you have magnified your word over all of your name. God always levels with us and tells us the truth in his word. The word of God is the thinking of God. It's the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And nothing is more important than knowing what God thinks, understanding how God operates, and all of that is in the Word of God. While grace is the genius plan of God to bless us, Bible doctrine is the manifestation and the explanation of that genius. Bible doctrine is the content of the Bible communicated through teaching and instruction. It is the communication of Bible subjects based on careful exegesis of the original languages, including the content, the analysis, the classification of subjects, and teaching. Point two, we studied etymology, the Hebrew word for the Word of God, which included emet, which means truth or faithfulness. It includes chokma, which is the Hebrew word for wisdom, which is the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, and now you can skillfully and accurately apply it to any situation in your life. It includes the word shemua, from the verb shama, to hear or to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. So shemua means what is heard, what you've concentrated on. And then there's lekach, which means learning and teaching. And then musar, and musar is used of learning through instruction and discipline. It refers to learning the Word of God as the principle by which you live your life. And then there's Greek etymology. We noted gnosko, to learn, to know, to come to know. And gnosis, which comes from the verb gnosko and is objective understanding and knowledge in the mind of the soul. And then there's epignosis, which is completed knowledge, full knowledge, the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, the heart of the soul. And then there's prognosko and prognosis, which is the thinking of the mind of God. And then there's the Greek word logos, which is the word for word, but it also means thinking, it means a message, it means doctrine. And then didache, and didache is the word for teaching or doctrine. And then didaskalia, and many times it's modified by an adjectival participle, hugiaino. And that verb, hugaino, means literally to be healthy. And so what is translated in your Bible, sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It's healthy doctrine. It's healthy for your soul, for your life. And that's, you need to get as much healthy doctrine as possible in your heart. That is sound doctrine. So that's a very important phrase. Hugaino didaskalia, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. That's in contrast to false doctrine, which is not healthy for you at all. And then there's gnostes, which is an expert in Bible doctrine. And then that brought us to point three, that is Bible doctrine pre-existed the human race. And we saw this in the great personification, the chapter of the personification of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs 8, 22 to 31, we saw that the Word of God is older than creation. And in Proverbs 8, 33 to 36, we saw that attitude toward the Word of God determines whether the believer will be blessed or disciplined in time. And then point four, the Word of God must be more real to you than empirical knowledge. And the one who was taught that went through it, and it was reality in his life. That's Peter, 2 Peter 1, 12 to 21. The Word of God is more real than anything else in life to the spiritually mature believer. And then point five, lack of Bible doctrine will destroy a nation. And that's the problem in the United States of America as we speak. Hosea 4, verses 1 through 6. And then point six, Bible doctrine is a part of the principle of logistical grace. And we ended with that last time. And I want to bring that up again. Logistical grace. At the moment that you come to the cross and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that instant of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. And that establishes this grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, at that very moment of faith in Christ, 40 salvation blessings come to you instantly at that time. Now, you don't realize it. You don't even know what they are. But as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you learn about all those things. And the more you learn about these 40 phenomenal salvation blessings, well, the more you develop a love for Jesus Christ and the Father. And then every single day from that moment of your salvation, faith in Christ, every day God has been giving to you logistical grace, blessing, and support. Every day, day after day after day, no matter what kind of a believer you are, baby believer, adolescent believer, mature believer, winner believer, loser believer, no matter what kind of believer you are, God keeps sending down logistical grace, blessing. And this is temporal security. Temporal security. God gives you this logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you have some time to grow up. To grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so you can advance to spiritual maturity. And once you do that, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. Well, point six is Bible doctrine, the Word of God, is a part of the principle of logistical grace, temporal security. God keeps us alive so that we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we can advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. And this logistical grace includes food, He gives you food. David says, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. And I have been here, well, for 11 years, Deb and I and our sons, we lived in the church. We sold the house. We had to sell the house because had to have a lot of work done around here. Had to have a wall put up and a parking lot put in. There was also, we had a responsibility to pay off some things. And so the only money that we had was in the house that we were living in. So we sold it and used that money to do these things, and then we lived in here. We lived in the church. Well, when we lived in the church, we lived here for 11 years. The kids grew up here. And we're living in a place of lots and lots of homeless people. You know, you see over at the park, they are over at the park all the time. They are always going through, and they would knock on our door almost on a daily basis. And because Debbie was teaching at Garside Junior High School, she was teaching. I was the only one here. The boys were at school. Deb was teaching. I was the only one here, but there would be some homeless person that would knock on the door again and again and again, day after day. And that was fine. I met with each one of them. It got so that I got to know all of them. And they all start out with the same. I can tell you what they're going to say before they say it, because I've heard so many times. In fact, I just had a new person knock on the door, and I was gonna say, just a second, see if this isn't what you want to say. And when they got done, the first time I always give them money. The sad thing is that a lot of times all they do is take the money and go buy alcohol or use it for drugs or things like that. But I will give them a benefit of the doubt and give them money the first time. I'll always give them water or food or clothes, and we've given lots of water, lots of food, lots of clothes to them again and again. But I always give them the gospel and explain to them what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. When he went to the cross, he was thinking about them. He paid the penalty for all of their sins once and for all. And if they simply believe in him, at that moment, he will give to them the gift of eternal life. He will give to them his imputed righteousness. And then I tell them, that sets up in your body a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, God will give you food. He'll give you clothes. He'll provide for you. And I say, there are lots of jobs. You won't be the president of a company. You might have to start at the bottom at minimum wage. Now, minimum wage when I was in school was minimum. Now, minimum wage is almost like being the president, just about. And I said, there are jobs, and if you want to get a job, God will provide it. And the fact that I always had them reading the Bible. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And then and many of them believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I told them, I says, I will remember you. I won't give you money again, but I'll give you food. I'll give you clothes. And I'll encourage you. I'll give you, if you want doctrinal pamphlets, I will give you those. And I'll encourage you, there's nothing more important you'll ever do in this life. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And that is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, we got to get a real good rapport. And this one fellow came and, boy, he just looked absolutely pathetic. And he smelled pathetic. And I explained all of these things to him, and then I didn't see him. And I didn't see him for a long time. And then someone knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I didn't recognize this guy. He's in a suit. A suit, short hair. He had had showers recently. And he says, "Pastor Olson, do you remember me?" I said, "No, I don't remember you." He says, "Well, I was the person who came here, one of the homeless people, and you gave me the gospel, and I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then you told me about logistical grace. And you told me that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat." And he said, "I went out and got a job. And now I'm working, and God is providing all of these things for me." And he said, "I just wanted to come by and say thank you." He said, "I was going around from church to church to church begging, begging, begging." And he said, "You're the only one who explained to me what the Bible says. And I just want to thank you. You gave me the gospel. I believed in Christ as my Savior. I got a job, and God is providing for me in a marvelous way. So thank you, sir, for taking that time to explain it to me." I said, "Thank you. I want to thank you that you had the humility when that gospel hearing, God made the gospel clear to you, and you chose to go positive and believe in Christ." I said, "That's phenomenal. That's fantastic." And there's been a few that have come here, and I've explained that, and they believed in Christ as their Savior, and everything turns around at that point. The Word of God is a part of the principle of logistical grace blessing. It includes food and shelter and clothing and money and transportation and protection and the Bible and a pastor and a local church and friends and loved ones. All of these things are a part of logistical grace blessing. Bible doctrine is an essential part of our logistical grace provision, so that we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and advance to spiritual maturity. Now that brings us to point seven. Point seven, the importance of consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God. The importance of consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God. Turn over to Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Stop forsaking the assembling of yourselves together for the teaching of the Word of God, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another." Encourage one another to assemble together for the teaching of the Word of God. "And all the more as you see the day drawing near." And we definitely are witnessing the day drawing near. Turn over to Hebrews You're in Hebrews 10. Look it over at 35 and 36. Chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Therefore, don't throw away as worthless your confidence in the Word of God, Bible doctrine. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. That is, you need to be consistent and faithful in learning and believing the Word of God, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Turn over to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12:2. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. After salvation, what? That's not the end of the race. Salvation is when the gun goes off. That's the beginning of the race. We're in a spiritual marathon. At salvation, the gun goes off. Now we're in a spiritual race. And after salvation, after the gun goes off, what? Here's after salvation, what? Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Turn over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, verse 6, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, how did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Well, look right here. Faith. You received Christ Jesus as Lord by believing in Him. Faith. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, faith in Jesus Christ, continue to live in Him, rooted and edified, edification built up in Him. This is edification now. You were saved by faith in Christ. How are you edified? Edification? By faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. Grow up. You were saved by faith, now you grow up. You're saved by faith in Christ, you grow up by faith in the Word of God, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So consistency and faithfulness is the key to reaching the objective of spiritual maturity. The biggest problems to being consistent and faithful in assembling to learn and believe the Word of God are distractions, mental attitude sins, and arrogance. Point eight, the results of learning and believing the Word of God and having a maximum amount of God's Word in your heart. The results of having a maximum amount of God's Word in your heart. All right. First, confidence. Confidence. And you see, that's what we have in our paragraph we're in 2 Corinthians 5. We have confidence, and they have confidence about the resurrection body because what Paul taught them in 1 Corinthians about the resurrection body. They have learned chapter 15, and therefore they have that Word of God in their heart, and that produces great confidence in them. And Paul brings that up through in this paragraph, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, we always have confidence. We always have confidence, and we know as a result of learning the Word of God, learning and believing it, we are always have confidence and know that while we are at home, While we're living in the tent of our human body, we are out of the house of the resurrection body, away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, absolutely not by sight. We are confident, again, verse 8, we are confident and courageous, I say, for a far better reason. We prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, our human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord in our resurrection body. And all this confidence is confidence they have from learning the Word of God from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And also Hebrews 10:35, but we already looked at that. Secondly, second result, it produces divine viewpoint of life. It produces the divine viewpoint of life in contrast to human viewpoint, and establishes right priorities in the soul. It produces the divine viewpoint of life rather than in contrast to human viewpoint, and establishes right priorities in the soul. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, let's start at verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Now, in translation I have here, it says, let the wicked. Well, wicked is all right, but it refers to the reversionistic believer. Believer out of fellowship with God, living out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system, making bad decisions in his life. So, let the reversionist forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. You see, the evil man has got a lot of thoughts, but they're human viewpoint garbage. They're not divine viewpoint. And the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. There is our word shuv. There is repentance. There's biblical repentance. There's turning back to God and His Word. There's starting out with confessing your sin, getting back in fellowship with God, and changing your thinking from negative volition to positive volition, and arrogance to humility. Let him turn to the Lord, and He, the Lord, will have mercy on him. And let him turn to our God, for He will freely pardon. Then verse 8. For my thoughts, this is God's thoughts, God's thoughts, the Word of God, Bible doctrine. For my thoughts, Bible doctrine, are not your thoughts, human viewpoint garbage, the thinking of the reversionist. For my thoughts, God's thoughts, Bible doctrine, are not your thoughts, human viewpoint garbage. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, the Word of God, Bible doctrine, higher than your thoughts, your human viewpoint garbage. So again, the Word of God produces the divine viewpoint of life in contrast to human viewpoint, and establishes right priorities in the soul. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 4. Second Corinthians 10:4, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. But we demolish arguments. false doctrine, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, against the Word of God. We demolish argument. The arguments and every pretension are false doctrines that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, the Word of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Subpoint 3. It results the believer, it orients the believer to the plan of God. It orients the believer to the plan of God. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8:28. Now, probably a lot of you have heard this verse. You might even have memorized this verse. That's fine. But mostly what you hear and what I hear people when they talk about this verse is just the first half of the verse. Romans 8:28. This is what I hear people say. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good. I even heard unbelievers say that. Oh, all things will work together for good. And I'm talking to an unbeliever. So there's been a lot of communication. I've heard a lot of Christians say, I know all things work together for good. That's not... Why stop? Why stop? That's only the beginning of verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Now there's a lot. The unbeliever doesn't love God, and yet I hear them say all things work together for good, and they're unbelievers. The reversionistic believer doesn't love God. This is the spiritually mature believer. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. What does that mean? You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've had virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have developed personal love for God. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have love for Jesus Christ. You're occupied with Jesus Christ. He's the most important person in your life. The spiritually mature believer, the most important person in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, well, then you also have impersonal love for all mankind. And when that happens, that will also motivate you to present the gospel as your royal ambassadorship. Present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. What motivates you to do that? Because He's the most important person in your life. And you always want to talk about the most important person in your life. So you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and you present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That motivates personal evangelism, witnessing for Christ. And that will go on the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you reach that point of occupation with Christ, He's the most important person in your life. Well, then that will motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship and present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Everywhere you go, whatever you're doing. And you don't have to set things up. You don't have to say, well, I'm gonna knock on all the doors in my neighborhood. No, you don't have to do that. If you prepare and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, God will open the door. God will open the door for you everywhere you go. No matter what you're doing. You can go to the store. God will open the door. You can go to a restaurant and have dinner. God will open the door. Deb and I, we have three restaurants we really, really like. Everybody there at that restaurant know that I'm a pastor. They know that Deb and I are Christians. And it opens opportunities. All the waiters know that I'm a pastor, that we're Christians. The fellow who parks my car, valet, knows that I'm a believer and knows that I'm a pastor. It opens the door to present the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere I go. Now, this is all that some of you will remember tonight. I was playing blackjack at a table in a casino, and there was a person sitting next to me, and the dealer wanted to know what I did, and I said, I'm a pastor of a church. And I gave her the gospel. She believed in Christ, and she came to church here. She came to church. Brought her dog, too. The dog was saved a long time before. And she... So I would sit at her table and play, and but she's talking to me and calling me, well, she didn't call me a pastor, she called me a priest. I thought, well, that's close enough. Believer priest. And the guy sitting next to me goes, are you a pastor? I go, yes, I am. He goes, I'm a deacon. I go, well, great. He says, if my pastor knew I was playing blackjack here, he would throw me out of the church. I said, well, when he does, come on over to our church. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says playing blackjack is a sin. It's entertainment. And there's a lot of different ways to have entertainment. I like to fish. I like to hunt. That's entertainment. I like to go to a football game. That's entertainment. And every once in a while, I have gone and played blackjack. God opens the door to give the grace gospel. Whatever you're doing, you don't have to set it up. God will open the door for you. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, it could be family, it could be relatives, it could be neighbors. Everybody in our block knows that I'm a pastor. In fact, there's a bunch of people that want to come to the Christmas play. They've never been into a Bible teaching church ever. They've got kind of a Catholic background. But they know that I'm a pastor, and they even told us, we would like to come to the Christmas play this year. I said, well, I think that's fantastic, come to the Christmas play. She said, now Debbie is the one that makes... I said, Debbie has a spiritual gift called making Christmas plays. You have to look in the Bible quite a while to find that. She has the gift of Christmas plays, and they get better every year. She's already working on the one for this year. And these people have youngster children. They want to know if they could bring them. I said, absolutely, yeah. And but they all know. Why? Well, it started out, I'd say Merry Christmas to them every time they come by. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And then they wanted to know, why do you say Merry Christmas? I said, because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus Christ, and He has a plan for the believer in Jesus Christ where He wants you to have Christmas every single day. And when you are living the spiritual life, you will have Christmas every single day. You'll have Thanksgiving every single day. That's how great God is. That's how great His plan is. He wants you to have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. Now, we got Thanksgiving coming up this month. But you all know, you've heard me, I expect you to have Thanksgiving every day. And Christmas is after. But most people, they just, it's just a day or two and that's it. Wouldn't you love to have Christmas every single day? That's how great God is. That's how great His plan is for you. His plan is the best plan ever. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Fourth, it produces stability of mind. The results of maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart produces stability of mind. Turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Verse 3. Now in the translation I have here, it's translated, you will keep in perfect peace. Now what we actually have here is shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, stabilized. A stabilized mind as a result of a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. You will keep in perfect peace, shalom, shalom, the one whose mind is steadfast as a result of maximum amount of the Word of God in his heart. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For God the Lord is the rock eternal. He is the rock of ages. Fifth, it is the basis for divine guidance. It's the basis for divine guidance and the execution of the will of God. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, first of all, a warning to you. Stop being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, the cosmic system. Stop that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Sixth result. It leads to having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It leads to having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And we've studied this in our Thursday night class in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, that is the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this we know that we are in him, we are abiding in him. 1 John 2, verse 5. Galatians 4, 19. Christ is formed in you. Galatians 4, 19. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Now, Paul had great knees. Paul had great knees. He could kneel. If I get down on my knees now, I can't get back up. In fact, I used to get down on my knees all the time and redo our fireplace. It's time for us to get the fireplace all set up. If I got down on my knees to get the fireplace ready, Debbie would just put me in the fireplace. Push me in. I couldn't get up. Now, you don't have to be on your knees to pray. You can be laying in bed and pray. You can be driving a car and pray. Don't close your eyes. But you can be driving a car and pray. You don't have to be on your knees. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may make himself at home. You might have dwell. It means to be make, to make at home. So that Christ may make himself at home in your heart. That's occupation with Christ. What is occupation with Christ? When Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Through what? Faith. Through faith. A maximum amount of the body of faith, the Word of God in your heart. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love for Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So the sixth result that leads to having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seventh result, it attains and holds spiritual maturity. You will accomplish the objective of becoming a spiritually mature believer. And this is in Philippians chapter 3. Turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now look, you know who's writing this, the Apostle Paul, greatest believer maybe of all time. Moses is in there too from the Old Testament, but here is the Apostle Paul. And this is really amazing and very humbling. Philippians 3 verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made, and the word there isn't perfect, it's teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Teleos. A teleos believer is a spiritually mature believer. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made a teleos believer, spiritually mature believer, but I press on. I'm still pressing on. I haven't stopped. I am still pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brethren, royal family of God, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I keep on doing, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead. I am pressing on toward the goal, the goal, spiritual maturity, to win the prize, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So the seventh result, we attain and hold spiritual maturity. Eighth result is that you will attain eternal grace blessing. Eternal grace blessing. Turn over to James 1. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 25. But the man, it doesn't have to be just a man, this is a generic term for man, mankind, men and women, lady believers, men believers, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law. What is the perfect law? The Word of God. Looking intently into the Word of God is, well, what you're doing tonight. What you're doing tonight, what we do five times a week. Looking intently into the Word of God, the perfect law that gives freedom, spiritual freedom, and continues to do this again and again and again, not forgetting what he has heard. But doing it, that means you believe it and apply it to your life. He will be blessed. Greater grace blessings. He will be blessed in what he does. And then Proverbs chapter 8, the passage, personification of the Word of God. Proverbs 8. I love Proverbs 8. One of the most unique chapters in the Scriptures. An entire chapter where wisdom is personified. Proverbs 8, verse 17. So the one doing the talking here is wisdom. The Word of God. The Word of God that you have learned and believed. Verse 17, I love those who love me, the Word of God. And those who seek me, the Word of God, will find me. With me are riches and honor. That's greater grace blessing in time. Enduring wealth and prosperity. Greater grace blessings for all eternity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth, greater grace blessing, on those who love me. Love me. Wisdom, the Word of God. Bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Your treasuries full, your heart full of the Word of God. And then the ninth result, and this is where we will stop this evening. The Word of God in the soul is the true source of happiness. The Word of God in the soul is the true source of happiness. And the first illustration of this is the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us. Luke chapter 11. This one kind of makes me laugh. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to declare what is the basis of real happiness. Now, There was a woman that was there in the periphery of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 27, the woman has what she thinks is the key to happiness. So Jesus is standing there, and verse 27, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, and she doesn't say blessed. She doesn't say blessed. She says Makarioi. M-A-K-A-R-I. And this is the plural ending. This Makarios is happiness. And this is the plural ending, and this is really, literally, happinesses. Happinesses. So this is what she shouts out from the crowd. Happinesses to the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. And the Lord Jesus Christ just didn't say anything about that. He just corrects her and says, he replied, happinesses to those who hear the word of God and obey it. He was just giving instruction to straighten her out on this deal. It isn't having babies that makes you happy. How many of you ladies, does that make you happy while you're having babies? Here is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Happiness is to those who hear the word of God and obey it. And then Philippians 4, and we'll end with this tonight. Philippians 4. The verb here is the verb Cairo, C-H-A-I-R, long O. Cairo is translated in this translation, rejoice. It means to be happy. Keep on, it's in the imperative mood, keep on having happiness in the Lord always. Keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times. And then he repeats, I will say it again. I will repeat this command. Keep on having happiness. Let your grace, gentleness is grace orientation. Let your grace orientation be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, royal family, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, concentrate about such things. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned, whatever you have learned, learning of the word of God, or received, or heard from me, the Apostle Paul, or seen in me, put it into practice. That is wisdom. Apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. And the God of peace will be with you. These are all results. Results of getting a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.